From our Old Testament reading today, Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 9. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. Thus far the text. On May 13th, 1940, Winston Churchill addressed the British Parliament as he was about to become prime minister. Hitler's troops had already invaded Poland, and they had just begun their blitzkrieg advance into France and Belgium and the Netherlands. War was crashing upon the world as Churchill stepped into leadership. Unlike many of the politicians of his day, Churchill did not promise a bright, optimistic future. He held out no hope for a speedy victory or easy peace. Instead, he electrified the parliament with these famous but true and difficult words. I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, and tears, and sweat. No politician could run off a slogan like that today and win. Jeremiah delivers a similar, difficult, painful, hard, yet true message to the people of Israel in our Old Testament reading. We're all going to be judged. The Babylonians are going to come, King Nebuchadnezzar. They're going to take us captive. We're going to become exiles. We're going to lose all of our possessions. We're all going to be slaves. The people didn't like that too much. They wanted him dead for his message. But that's not the greater problem in our Old Testament reading text today. You don't catch it in the four or five verses that we have for our reading. You'd have to go back. The real problem here that's going on is there's two prophets at play, Hananiah and Jeremiah. Both names come up in our reading. One's a false prophet and one's a true prophet. Just jumping back one chapter in chapter 27, Jeremiah gets a word from the Lord, an object lesson for Israel. Remember? He has to put himself in a yoke of slavery and walk around the whole city as an object lesson that we're all about to be taken captive, enslaved to Babylon. The people don't like this, so they bring him before the chief priests and all the people. They want him dead. But up stands another prophet by the name of Hananiah, who prophesies something much different from Jeremiah's doom. He says this, "Thus says the Lord, I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon, and within 2 years I'll bring back this place, all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away. And I will also bring back this place that Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." In other words, Hananiah proclaims, we're going to have victory in the Lord, and everything is going to be returned, all the exiles will be freed, our enemies are going to be crushed, and this is all going to happen within 2 years. Jeremiah's message is completely different. Jeremiah's message is all blood, toil, tears, and sweat. And Hananiah's is all joy, all freedom, life at ease, everything perfect. Well, which prophet do you suppose got the gainful hearing here in the presence of the people? And this is where our reading picks up today. Jeremiah admits in front of everyone that he wishes Hananiah's prophecy would be true. He says, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you just prophesied come true. That would be great if he did." But Jeremiah knows the difficult truth. And so he says, "Hear this word. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times, they prophesied war and famine and pestilence, blood, toil, tears, and sweat." Difficult, but true words. Prophets usually don't gain too much of a hearing when pronouncing God's judgment upon the people. They run right into opposition. Jesus does this himself when he comes to bring God's law and judgment as well. First words out of Jesus' mouth when he begins his ministry, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." People don't like that too much. Jesus has hard but difficult words. In our gospel reading today, "I haven't come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He tells his apostles three times in the Gospel of Matthew that we're going to Jerusalem and the Son of Man is going to be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes. They'll condemn him to death, deliver him over to the Gentiles to be flogged, and mocked, and crucified, be raised on the third day. These are hard words for the disciples to hear. And then in his judgment in Matthew 25 and 26, Jesus says that when he comes and returns to judge the earth, he'll say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And these will go away into the eternal punishment. Revelation tells us after the new heavens and the new earth is found, that as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. The law of God is difficult to hear, and it stops every mouth. For all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And our iniquities are ever before him. Even our good deeds, even our righteous things, even the best things we do are filthy rags in his sight. We deserve nothing but death and hell for what we've done. But yet here within the scriptures lies these famous yet difficult words that are true that cause us to stand in awe of God. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we're healed. For all of us, like sheep, every one of us has gone astray, and we have turned every one of us to our own way, yet the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our sin was so horrendous, so serious, that it took God's only Son to come and atone for it. But here's the problem. The same one that the people of Israel faced, of a land filled with false prophets and true prophets, who do you believe? Who do you turn to in a world filled with these false proclaimers and true proclaimers, these false churches and true churches? This weekend at Old Glory Days, the Westboro Baptist Church came to protest Clinton. Maybe you've never heard of Westboro Baptist Church. They're not Baptist. I can assure you that. But they came to proclaim God's judgment on everyone, tell everyone that they're all going to hell, even us in our prayer booth. So how do you know? How do the people know who to believe, who to trust when you have false prophets and true prophets, false churches and true churches, false believers in Christ and true believers in Christ? Well, Jeremiah's message is very simple. He says, well, if they said comes true, then they're a true prophet from God. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. Hananiah's prophecy about everything coming within 2 years didn't happen. In fact, Hananiah died within 2 years. But what Jeremiah prophesied actually happened. He was the true prophet. Jesus' prophecy, what he said would happen, that he would be killed and delivered and crucified, it happened. Just as he said it would. And so we know that God's judgment really did fall on him, just as he said, and 3 days later, he was raised from the dead, just as he said. And so therefore, in this world filled with all these false and true prophets, we turn our eyes to him, to Jesus, our Christ. He is the true prophet sent by God, the very Son of God, God in human flesh. We trust his called apostles who wrote down the sacred scriptures for our learning, guided by the Spirit. And these scriptures, they point us to hard yet difficult truths, the reality of blood, toil, and judgment for our sin. We have to hear the law. We can't plug our ears to the law of God. Don't be a Hananiah, where it's all gospel, all good, all joy, but no law. Because all that does for people is give them false hope. There's no foundation to it. There's no reality to it. There's no truth. We have to hear the law of God. But the scriptures also point us to this comforting word of God, the gospel, that Christ's toil, his blood, he took upon the judgment for us. We have to hear the gospel. Don't do as the Westboro Baptist Church does, where it's all law, but not a drop of gospel. Otherwise, you just burden people's consciences and their souls. You and I, as Christians, we can inflict a lot of harm on people by pronouncing all law, but withholding the gospel. We can also inflict a lot of harm on people when they are not repenting, but yet we give them all gospel, but not a drop of law. We need both. The law and the gospel. In our parenting, parents, you give a kid all love and all gospel, but no law, no discipline. It's not good for the kid. It's also not good for the kid if you give them all law, but not a drop of love. You got to have both in parenting. You got to have both in our churches, both law and gospel. We have to have both. And our relationship with others to foster meaningful and true relationships. You got to have both. No matter how difficult it may be. Even Jeremiah, the weeping prophet who pronounced judgment after judgment after judgment, still hold out the promises of God. Behold, the days are coming. I'll fulfill my promise I made to the house of Israel. I'll cause a righteous branch to rise up from David. And Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will be secure. We got to give people both. No matter how difficult it may be, because people are worth our blood and sweat and tears to see them in heaven. For everyone must know that the only one that we can truly trust is Jesus, the true prophet sent by God, who is the way and the truth and the life, and who is coming again to judge. And they must know that the sword of judgment fell on him for our sake, that it was his blood and his toils and his tears and his sweat that satisfied the Lord's judgment and has brought us peace all by his grace. Amen.